Today we are looking at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We will not finish the whole chapter, but look at the first 22 verses in this chapter. In this chapter, we see the conversion of Cornelius and the Roman centurion. Cornelius is a Roman centurion, but apparently Cornelius is also the son of Japheth. See conversion now. Responding when the people are responding to the new way, it's now covering the whole human race, touching on all the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Chapter 10 continues the record of the ministry of Simon Peter. Later on, Peter will pass from the scene and history will continue with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Although Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles by entering the home of Cornelius and presenting salvation through Jesus Christ to Cornelius' household. First, let us look at the vision which was given to Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, remember that Paul had been in Caesarea, we read this from Acts 9, verse 30, and had probably some of the other apostles also been preaching the gospel along the coast. Tel Aviv is really a part of old Joppa. As one travels up the coast from Joppa, the next place of any size is Caesarea, which was really a Roman city. It was the place where Pilate lived. The governor and those who ruled the land stayed in this place. This is where Cornelius was stationed. He was a centurion, which means he was a commander of 100 soldiers in the Roman army. The Italian band was a cohort of Roman soldiers recruited in that city. This is why we are introduced to him. A certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Acts 10, verse 2. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now here we have a statement, a devout man. That means his worship was rightly directed. He worshipped God. He recognized his dependence upon that which is divine. Remember that even a pagan can have devotion and deep conviction to his gods. Sometimes we wish that Christians today had more devotion and conviction. We see here in Cornelius a devout man, and he even feared God with all his household, and he gave alms generously to the people. And he prayed not just to gods, but to that which was right. He was a devout man and one who feared God. Though he was not a Jewish proselyte in the strict sense of the term, he gravitated towards Judaism and could be called a proselyte of the gate. Today we might say that he was a man who lived in the neighborhood. He attended church on special occasions, was friendly towards the church, but was not actually a real Christian. That would have been Cornelius. He feared God. And then he also gave alms to the people. Means he gave many gifts to charity, to the Jewish people. The nation of Israel has always laid great stress upon giving. God had taught them in the Old Testament. We speak of the tithes, but it is obvious from the Mosaic system that they actually gave more than a tithe. They gave 3/10. They gave for the running of the government, which was the theocracy at the beginning. They gave for the maintenance of the temple, and they gave a tenth of all that they produced. So they have been a giving, generous people. And so this man had learned to give. It is also interesting that even today, Jews established many non-charitable foundations. There is no group of people in our day that gives as generously as does the Jewish community in its support of the nation of Israel. They are a very generous people. So we also hear that Cornelius prayed to God. The centurion took his needs to God. He needed to have more light. He wanted it. And he probably didn't really know too much about prayer, but he still prayed. He prayed to God. So what happened to him? Acts chapter 10, verse 3. About the 10th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. This centurion, a Roman army officer, a career officer, and a man of influence, we see him. He also had a tremendous influence in his own household, as we shall see. He was a good man to all outward observation, but he actually was not a Christian. He had not even heard the gospel. He is an example here of a man who lived up to the light which he had. In John 1, verse 9 says this of Jesus, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So we see in this centurion, he had not met Jesus Christ nor had come into his presence, but he was living up to the light that he had. Elsewhere, James says, he who knows what is right to do and does not do, to him, that is sin. The centurion, whatever he had known, he lived up to it. And also even Paul, referring to those who do not live by the light, in Romans says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his divine attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Therefore, God has given us enough light that we should actually do the right thing. And we see here from Cornelius, though he was not converted, he had not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he used the light that had been given to him. I want to speak to you, my friend. Yes, maybe you have not understood the Bible clearly. Yes, maybe the gospel has never been preached to you, and at least today you are hearing it. But have you been living in the light that has been given to you? That light speaks in your conscience. That light is shown through the world, through creation. What God has revealed, are you living in the realization that there is God? Thank God. Even when Cornelius had had some knowledge of God, when the message came to him, he didn't say, what I have is enough. Even what you have today, what you know today, you have been living true to that light, God will bless you. But he holds you responsible in that today you are hearing this message coming to you. What do you do about this, Jesus? Remember, God says they are without excuse. This is God's answer to that oft-repeated question. What about the poor pagan, that heathen people who do not know God, who had never had a chance? Is he lost? The answer is that God will get light to such a person. God will enable such a person to hear the gospel. How will God get the gospel to the person? And how will God get the gospel to Cornelius? The barriers seem insurmountable. The church at this time and for the first 8 years was exclusively Jewish. But God used the light to get the gospel to Cornelius. These Christian Jews were still going to the temples and observing many Jewish customs. They could do that under the grace because they were trusting Christ. Then the gospel broke over in Samaria. The Jews in Jerusalem were surprised, but they recognized the hand of God in this. Now he is going to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul is to be the great missionary to the Gentiles, but God has Paul out in the desert in Arabia. He is still training him there. It is still Simon Peter who must open the door to the Gentiles. God used perhaps the most prejudiced and religious extremist of that day. Obviously, the Holy Spirit directed every move in getting the gospel to the Gentiles. My friend, all genuine Christian work is directed by the Holy Spirit. No other work amounts to anything. The Holy Spirit had to work in the heart of the Gentile. The Holy Spirit had to work in the heart of the Jew. The Holy Spirit directed the bringing of the gospel to the Gentile world. Acts chapter 10 verse 4 tells us, "And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God.'" Again, an angel of God appeared to Cornelius in a vision. He was not dreaming, but he was given this vision while he was praying. It is important to be praying, for revelations come when we are prayerful. Now I want you to notice that there are certain things that do count before God. These are the things which can in no way merit salvation, but they are things which God recognizes. The prayers of Cornelius and his alms had come up for a memorial before God, and God brought the gospel to him. Wherever there is a man who seeks after God as Cornelius did, that man is going to hear the gospel of God's grace. God will see that he gets it. When you seek, you find. When you ask, you will be given. When you knock, the door will be opened to you. Acts chapter 10, verse 5 to verse 6. "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." Now the angel we see here tells him where to find Peter. Isn't this amazing that the Holy Spirit even knows our exact location? Have you ever thought about it, my friend? What is your address? You have to inform all the other people to know your address. But the Holy Spirit knows your address, can even direct people, can even direct his angels to come and minister, because he knows all your details. He knows it. So he doesn't need more of an address here. The order of those hides down in that vat will lead them straight to the right place. And he says, you are to go to the lodging where Simon is. He is staying with Simon a tanner, and you will be able to smell the odor of the vat. And that is the place you must go. So now here the Spirit of God through the angel enables the human beings who would not even know. But look how the Spirit of God noted the details there. Acts chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 8. "And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Now, these men won't have trouble finding the tanner's house. While they are on the way, God must prepare Simon Peter, which is very interesting. Now these people are going, and God prepares Simon Peter so that there will not be a contradiction. Our God is an amazing God. Here is Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to verse 16. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to verse 16. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. What a vision is revealed here. Now, it is absolutely necessary for God to prepare Simon Peter before the messengers arrive. You see, Simon Peter didn't have the breath that Paul had. Although he didn't have the background or the training that Paul had, God used him differently. I believe it is a tremendous mistake here to think that every person has to be poured into the same mold for God's use. God uses us differently because he has gifted us differently. We have different dispositions, and we must allow God to be God in our situations. We cannot come up with a mold for God. So we see here God showing Peter a vision. Notice that there were beasts, all kinds of birds and all kinds of bugs. While Peter is wondering what this means, a voice spoke to him. And isn't that interesting that right there he calls him Lord, but he doesn't obey what the Lord tells him to do? Don't miss something important. Here is a man who is on this side of the day of Pentecost. It's after Pentecost. He is living in the age of grace when it makes no difference whether one eats or whether one does not eat meat. But he says, I have never eaten anything common and anything unclean. However, we see here Peter is still abiding by the Mosaic system. And he is not eating anything that is ceremonially unclean. He is sincere and honest about it. Well, someone may say that he ought to be a broad-minded person who eats everything. Well, you see that the Lord is teaching him that he is no longer under the Mosaic system. And he is now free to eat anything. Today, the big problem is that some people decide they don't want to eat meat. And then they try to put everyone else under that same system. That is where the error is. If you decide you will not eat certain meats, just fine for you. But don't impose your convictions upon others. My friend, under grace, you can eat meat or you may not eat meat. That is your business. Eating some certain food may give you indigestion, but it certainly will not change your relationship with the Lord. And we have here a message that comes when he calls things unclean, Simon, and the Lord says, what he has made clean, don't call unclean. You can eat anything because God has said it. Whose report now do you believe? And Peter now was left wondering what it was all about. But God will help him to understand what he is doing because he has a new era upon him now. God's view of Cornelius was a contrast, actually, of Peter's. Because of Christ, God was ready to throw the doors of faith wide open to Cornelius. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. So he sternly declared to Peter, because of Christ, the centurion would be a cleansed person from sin and would be acceptable to God. God is preparing this man. But the story will begin to become so clear after Cornelius' messengers have come. Here is Acts chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 22. Acts chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 22. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from you. What a reading here. Peter is still confused. And God comes and he says, I don't want you to be confused. He reveals something else. There are men who are waiting for you. You must go. They have come at my instruction. And so Peter goes down. Now, in his confusion, should Peter break with his culture and visit this Gentile, violating traditional codes handed down as if carrying the force of God's law? He had at least 2 days to sort out his thoughts as he walked to Caesarea to meet Cornelius. This little delegation from Cornelius gives an explanation to him. They tell him, the man you are going to meet is a godly man. He fears God, but he has been divinely instructed to send you. He needs to hear words from you. So they extend the invitation to him and say, now come, let us go to the house of Cornelius. Well, we would like to leave it at this stage where Peter is sort of confused, and we would like to see next in our study what will happen to Peter as he gets to Cornelius' house. Meanwhile, ponder upon the message that God has sent a message to Peter and is calling him to go and minister. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Word of God is at work. And the man of God will be at work for the conversion of the centurion, the son of Japhet. God bless you.
You can have copies of the notes and outlines used for these Living Word for Africa programs so you can follow them as you listen. For your copies, please send a WhatsApp message or SMS to +27 72 641 4475. Please say which book of the Bible you want them for and be sure to include your name and contact information. I'll repeat that number for you. It's country code 27 followed by 72 641 4475. From within South Africa, it's 072 641 4475.